Hello everyone, Daria here, and welcome to episode 28 of the Slow Russian Language Podcast. Today we're going to talk about the history of Moscow, and this episode has been requested for so many times by so many people, and finally this day has come, and we have a perfect reason for that, because today, September 10, Moscow is celebrating its birthday, and it's 869 years old. Just think of that, 869, so old. So today, let's have a look through its history. Here we go. История Москвы. Москва – самый известный город в России. Однако долгое время она была далеко не самым первым городом на Руси. Впервые Москва упоминается в летописи в 1147 году, а основателем ее считается князь Юрий Долгорукий. Много раз Москву сжигали практически дотла. В 1237 и в 1390 годах монголы, в 17 веке поляки, в 19 Наполеон. Но каждый раз она восставала из пепла, как феникс. Своё влияние Москва начала набирать благодаря хитрости московских князей. Так беспринципный московский князь Юрий Данилович, по легенде, отравил свою собственную жену, которая была сестрой татарского хана, и обвинил в этом Тверского князя. В совместном походе московского князя и татарского хана Тверской князь был жестоко убит. В конце концов, Москва стала столицей России. При Петре I в 1712 году столица была перенесена в Санкт-Петербург, и Москва на целых 3 века стала провинцией. В 1918 году большевики вернули столицу в Москву, и до сих пор она остается самым главным городом России. And that was it for the text. Now let's try to translate it sentence by sentence and find some interesting vocabulary. The name of the text was История Москвы, History of Moscow. Москва – самый известный город в России. Moscow is the most famous city in Russia. Well, it's hard to argue here. Maybe some would say that it's St. Petersburg, but I guess Moscow is more famous, at least because it's a capital of the country. And the next sentence. Однако, долгое время она была далеко не самым первым городом на Руси. But for a long period of time, it certainly wasn't the first one. Here we have interesting expression далеко не самый первый. Of course, you know the word далеко meaning far, but when you hear it like this, далеко не, and then some adjective, it usually means certainly not something. For example, certainly not the most beautiful. Далеко не самый красивый. For example, some not very good-looking girl, but she's very nice and kind. So you can say, она далеко не красавица, но у нее доброе сердце. She's certainly not a beauty, but she has a gentle heart. And in the text, далеко не самый первый город. Certainly not the first city. Of course, first here, it doesn't mean that it appeared earlier than other cities. It means not the best, not the first. And it's true. For a long period of time, Moscow was just a small village, and nobody even paid attention to it. Okay, we're moving to the next sentence. Впервые Москва упоминается в летописи в 1147 году. First time Moscow was mentioned in chronicles in 1147. The verb упоминать means to mention. So Moscow was mentioned in the chronicles. Москва упоминалась в летописи. The word летопись is the word from ancient Russian, and it comes from писать лето. The word лето didn't mean summer in those times, and it meant the whole year. So it was like writing years. Писать лето. Летопись. So it's chronicles. And the second part of this sentence. А основателем ее считается князь Юрий Долгорукий. And Prince Юрий Долгорукий was the founder of it. Основатель, founder. So the verb is основать. And we already talked about the word князь. English version is prince, but of course it's not exactly the same because, as I already told in previous episodes, князь is more like the first warrior, and that's why he had some power. And this name, Юрий Долгорукий, you see, it's kind of a nickname. Долгорукий comes from долгие руки. Долгий means long, and it was the synonym of длинный. So usually we use the adjective долгий when we say about some period of time. For example, долгая пауза, some long pause. But in the past, people used to use this word speaking about the length of something, like here. His arms. Юрий long arms. Юрий долгорукий. So he was the founder of Moscow. And we're moving to the next part. Много раз Москву сжигали практически дотла. Many times Moscow was almost burned to the ground. В 1237 и в 1390 годах монголы. In 1237 and 1390 by Mongols. В 17 веке поляки. In the 17th century by Poles. В 19 веке Наполеон. In the 19th century by Napoleon. With Napoleon, it's controversial because he had no intention to burn Moscow. He was pretty kind to the countries he conquered, and that's how he showed what kind of ruler he was, or at least tried to seem to be. But Russians were like barbarians, and they preferred to burn their own homes than to give them to French, to enemies. So Napoleon was shocked and stunned when he saw this great fire, and he had to leave Moscow. And after that, pretty soon he was defeated and had to flee from Russia forever. But Moscow was burned to the ground because almost all the houses were made of wood. Okay, the next sentence. Но каждый раз она восставала из пепла как феникс. Yeah, here I decided to add some beautiful expression. Okay, let's translate it. But every time it resurrected from the ashes like phoenix. Yep. Восстать из пепла. This verb, восстать, usually it means to rebel. Like people rebelled against their government. Люди восстали против правительства. And also we have the phrase to resurrect from the dead. Восстать из мертвых. Or like here, like this phoenix bird. Восстать из пепла. To resurrect from the ashes. Well, of course, here in this text, I meant that Moscow was rebuilt. It was completely burned and in ruins, and then it was rebuilt and became even more beautiful. Okay, the next sentence. Своё влияние Москва начала набирать благодаря хитрости московских князей. Moscow started to gain its authority due to the cunning of Moscovian princes. So the Moscow princes were cunning guys. The next sentence. Так беспринципный московский князь Юрий Данилович по легенде отравил собственную жену, которая была сестрой татарского хана и обвинил в этом Тверского князя. Oh, long sentence. Let's try to understand what was going on here. For example, unscrupulous Moscovian prince Yuri Danilovich, according to legend, poisoned his own wife, who was the sister of the Mongolian Khan, and accused his rival, Prince of Tver. So, I told you before in one of the previous history episodes that Moscow and Tver were two cities in rivalry, so they were always struggling to become the central city in Russia. And this Moscow prince, Yuri, not that one who founded it, another Yuri, he married the sister of Mongol Khan during that Mongol and Tatar invasion. So when Russia was kind of enslaved by Mongols, and he was married to one of his sisters. So this cunning Yuri poisoned his own wife and accused that rival prince from Tver, just to make Mongols angry. So he kind of sacrificed his own wife for that. Okay, the next sentence. В совместном походе московского князя и татарского хана Тверской князь был жестоко убит. During the allied campaign of Moscow and Mongolian forces, Prince of Tver was brutally killed. Of course, what else could be done there? And the next sentence. В конце концов, Москва стала столицей России. Eventually, Moscow has become the capital of Russia. Or here I would rather translate it as finally, Moscow became the capital of Russia. This phrase в конце концов usually means eventually, finally, meaning that someone was doing something and doing and doing and doing, and then finally, he or she achieved their goal. В конце концов, something happened. So everyone was expecting it and it happened. Moscow became the capital of Russia. В конце концов, Москва стала столицей России. And we're moving to the last part of this text. При Петре Первом в 1712 году столица была перенесена в Санкт-Петербург и Москва на целых 3 века стала провинцией. During the reign of Peter I in 1712, the capital was moved to St. Petersburg, and Moscow became a province for the whole 3 centuries. Peter the Great is a famous Russian emperor. Actually, it was the first Russian emperor. Before him, they were czars. And he finally made Russia an empire and part of Europe. I guess in some of the next episodes about Russian history, we will talk about him more. So he built St. Petersburg. He founded it. Он был основателем Санкт-Петербурга. Он основал Санкт-Петербург. And after he did that, he moved the capital from Moscow to St. Petersburg as a symbol of the reborn Russia, the new Russia, European Russia, for 3 centuries. Целых три века. This adjective, целых, usually it's the whole. But like here, it's used to emphasize the amount of something. Like 3 centuries, it's a lot. It's a long period of time. Целых три века. If it were 3 years, I guess I wouldn't use the adjective целый here, because for a city, it's not a long time to be a capital for 3 years, so it kind of doesn't matter. But for 3 centuries, you can say целых три века. Or maybe you ate 3 large cakes. Here you can use the word целый. Я съела целых три пирога. Because it's a lot. It's not normal to eat 3 cakes. Okay, and the last sentence of this text.
В 1918 году большевики вернули столицу в Москву, и до сих пор она остается главным городом России.
In 1918, Bolsheviks returned the capital to Moscow, and it is still the main city of Russia. Bolsheviks were the party, the political party, and actually those were the guys who made this whole revolution in Russia. But again, in the future we'll talk about it more. And after a revolution, they returned the capital to Moscow as a symbol of renewed Russia again, because St. Petersburg has been a symbol of the whole emperor thing, like Imperial Russia. And now Russia was ruled by workers, by proletarians, by peasants, so Moscow was more appropriate for them.
than the bright and beautiful St. Petersburg. Because if you visit St. Petersburg, you will understand that this city is extremely beautiful and all those rich buildings. It was one huge symbol of aristocratic Russia. So for the new power, the new government, Moscow was more suitable. And I guess that's it for today. If you have any friends in Moscow, don't forget to say happy birthday to their city today. And I encourage you to visit Moscow as a tourist. It's just an amazing city, very beautiful, and lots of historical places here. It's not the best place for living, but for tourists, it's just perfect. What else? There was something I wanted to say. Oh, yes. Tomorrow I'm leaving for Lithuania and I'll stay there for a week at least. And don't expect any new episodes until I come back. I'm very sorry and it really irritates me that I cannot have some normal schedule. You know, one episode in a certain day, like only Wednesdays or maybe only Mondays. I hope that very soon I'll be able to arrange that and it will be one episode per 1 week and in one certain day. Oh, but now, unfortunately, it's like that. So, if you want some pictures from Vilnius and from Kaunas and Trakai, a beautiful castle there, follow me on Instagram. It's Real Russian Club there. I'll put the link in the show notes. And for today, yeah, I guess that was it for today. Thank you very much for listening, and I hope to see you in the next episode of the Slow Russian Language Podcast. Bye-bye!